Entrepreneur Stories, episode 95.
You know, I think for entrepreneurs, it's especially important for us to be out of debt only because it's hard enough with the roller coaster ride of emotions that entrepreneurs can go through. I mean, one day we're on top of the world, business is coming at us left and right, and the next day we think, oh my goodness, who wants to hire me? And we start living in that scarcity mode. But when you add living in debt on top of that, it adds a lot of unnecessary trauma and drama and chaos in our lives, and that goes with our relationships.
Welcome to Entrepreneur Stories, interviews with successful entrepreneurs sharing their stories 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, with stories on how people have passed down wisdom and knowledge for as long as people have been around. We hope the stories you hear will inspire you to experience success. Success is not an accident. Success leaves clues. How do you find them? You follow them. And now, welcoming your host, Jamil Jama.
Hello and welcome to Entrepreneur Stories, where I chat with today's most successful entrepreneurs. I'm Jamil Jama and our guest today is Jen McDonough, aka the Iron Jen, overcoming adversity speaker, top 100 Amazon and Kindle author to Living Beyond Awesome, Living Beyond Rich, and 5 minutes a day to Living Beyond Rich. It's a pleasure to welcome our awesome guest, Jen McDonough. Jen, are you ready to share your story?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm excited to meet your audience.
Thanks, Jen. Jen, I want to thank you for taking your time out to do this interview, because I know you're very busy. You have 4 kids, you have businesses to run, you have your firefighter as well, like a volunteer firefighter. So I appreciate your time, Jen.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It truly is an honor to be on here.
So Jen, what is your entrepreneur story from when you started until where you are right now?
Well, you know, I never really pictured myself being an entrepreneur. I was happy in a job that I loved for many years. I worked in the medical industry for over 20 years and was very passionate about working in that field. However, one day my job ended when our clinic closed, and that left me without a job. And it was during a time that we were paying off a ton of debt. We had a child that was sick with a lifetime medical condition. We were, you know, trying to pay off debt, trying to make our bills. And so really a job is what I needed. And I had always been in jobs that I loved. And so in choosing to leave the medical world totally and go into the corporate world, I didn't think a lot about it. I thought, oh, of course I'll love this job. Well, I came to find out that not everybody loves their job and there's a reason for it. And so it was through that very painful 4-year journey of working in the corporate world that I discovered that, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with me. There wasn't anything wrong with the corporate world. It's just that we're all wired a certain way. And my wiring is definitely for being a person who helps others and having that entrepreneurial spirit. I think that most of us who are entrepreneurs kind of have, there's something a little different about us, and we're driven in ways that a lot of people are not. So I'm very blessed to get to be doing what I'm doing today. But it was really through that discontentment and that very painful time that drove me to finding that passion and what my purpose is and how I can apply that to help people today.
And Jen, you're also known as Iron Jen.
I am.
How did you get that nickname, Iron Jen?
Well, I'm an 8-time national U.S. Olympic festival or U.S. Olympic style weightlifter, and as well as a 2-time U.S. Olympic festival medal winner in weightlifting. In addition, probably the only Olympic style weightlifter that went on to do an Ironman, but they're two totally different sports. One is very anaerobic, meaning there's no cardiovascular involved at all, hardly, to aerobic, which is, you know, purely cardiovascular type training. So, and the name kind of stuck when we went off to pay off $212,000 worth of debt and medical expenses in 4 years. Kind of that Iron Gen stuck, as it's made up of grit, iron, and strength.
That's awesome, Jen. And Jen, talking about paying off debts, you paid off like over $212,000 worth of debt, right? In 4 years, was it 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. That's what our family's most known for.
What's the best and quickest way to get out of debt, and why is it so important to be out of debt?
You know, I think for entrepreneurs, it's especially important for us to be out of debt, only because it's hard enough with the roller coaster ride of emotions that entrepreneurs can go through. I mean, one day we're on top of the world, business is coming at us left and right, and the next day we think, oh my goodness, who wants to hire me? And we start living in that scarcity mode. But when you add living in debt on top of that, it adds a lot of unnecessary trauma and drama and chaos in our lives, and that goes with our relationships, how we run our business. So getting to be out of debt is really a stress reliever, and it's one less thing to worry about. And I think that when we are out of debt, or when we're not carrying a lot of debt, it helps with, you know, definitely how we run our businesses.
Because we've got more money to invest in the business, isn't it?
Yeah, that, and we're thinking more in an abundance type thinking rather than scarcity type thinking.
And Jen, and your story was featured in a German documentary. How did it happen?
Oh my goodness, we had so much fun, Jamil. If you would have met our family a couple years ago, we were very, very private. A very, very private family. And so to come out and share our story with the world has really been humbling. It's puts one in a very vulnerable spot to share your most private, you know, shameful experience with others. But we actually had a German crew come out and stay with our family for 3 days. They filmed our family here in Minnesota. They also went to New York and did some filming along Wall Street. But we found them through, they contacted us hearing of our story, and they just really wanted to understand, you know, how, you know, debt happens and kind of what the consequences are of that. So it was really a neat experience to be able to share. The only thing is when we did get a copy of the documentary, our family was awfully excited. I mean, to get to be in a documentary is kind of fun, but you know, we gathered around one night to watch. We had popcorn and we were sitting in front of the TV. We turned off the lights and we hit the play button on the movie player, and it was about 1 minute into it that we discovered we didn't understand a word of what they were saying because it was all in German. So
I was going to ask that, actually, is it in German or
yeah,
English?
Yeah, so while we were
I thought
excited.
It must have been in English. Yeah. I thought it must have been in English, but then you just said it's in German.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So
I was also going to ask where can we get that documentary, but it's probably for German speakers, right?
It's for German speakers, yes. It's available on YouTube, I think. We actually, it's on their largest public broadcasting system is where it was played, which was kind of neat. But we had people contacting us from Germany wanting to know about our story, and it was kind of neat.
Have you been to Germany and been on stage for speaking?
No, I haven't.
They should invite you, I think.
Yeah, I think they should. That would be a ton of fun.
So Jen, you are a very active person. You're a voluntary firefighter. You have you look after 4 children. You do public speaking. You author books. So Jen, what do you enjoy doing in your free time?
Oh, golly, I truly do enjoy the firefighting stuff. That's really what I enjoy. I just love getting to be with my husband. We've been married for 23 years and our 4 kids. So we spend a lot of time together. I love going for bike rides or going to the gym. That's probably my 3 favorite things. Reading also is a big joy of mine.
How often do you read?
I try to read every day, whether I'm listening to audiobooks or reading real books. I prefer real books. But when I'm working out, I'll listen to an audiobook.
And Jen, you are the author of three books, three Amazon top-selling books.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. I actually wrote those while I was still working in the corporate world. So I was building my entrepreneurial business on speaking and coaching and training. And I actually wrote those three books in about a year's time. And that was working full time with a 2-hour daily commute. We had, you know, 4 kids. We were paying off debt. We were working extra jobs. But the books were really a delight to share. My first book is Living Beyond Awesome, which is going from a couch potato to an Iron Man. And it really shows people the value of what we can do with our attitude and actions when we start looking at things like, what can I do, instead of only looking at what we can't do. It's a very empowering book for people. The second book we wrote was Living Beyond Rich, and that's really our finance story. But we wanted to not only share our story, but then we took experts from around the country and we had them share expert tips in there. So even though people may not relate directly to our story, we tried to make it so everybody could get something out of it, whether it's the college kid, you know, trying to get through college debt free, or perhaps it's that single mom trying to raise a family. We tried to make a little bit something for everybody. And then our third book was really written. That book actually hit number one on Amazon under the budgeting category. And that book is really for people who hate finances, hate Excel budgets, don't think they're good at finances. I always tell people, if you like finances, do not buy this book. You will hate it. And that's our book, 5 Minutes a Day to Living Beyond Rich. And actually, now we're offering that for free for a limited time on our website. If you just go to theirongen.com, you can sign up in the upper right-hand column. You'll see if you sign up for a newsletter, we have a free PDF download. But that's just this down and dirty budget book for how to get your finances in order in 5 minutes a day. And it was written by somebody who really doesn't like finances, doesn't like Excel spreadsheets. So
did you write all those books yourselves, or did you outsource them?
Yes, but I say we because it was really a family effort. You know, our family sacrificed time to let me do that, and I appreciate that very much. So, yes, those are all written by me.
Great. So a good lesson we can learn from that is that no matter how busy you are, there's always time to write a book, right?
Exactly. I think when we look at where we spend our time and our money, that'll tell us where our priorities are. So it's definitely possible to do this stuff while you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah, because I've met quite a few people that say, oh, I'm too busy to write a book. So
yes.
A good lesson we can learn from you is that it doesn't matter how busy you are, there's still time. How many time a day roughly was you spending on the book, Jen?
You know, I would do writing. I'd get up early in the morning and I'd write, you know, an hour and a half in the morning. And then in the evenings after our family time kind of settled down, I would stay up and do like another 2 hours of writing, I guess. It kind of depended on what the day had to bring. And, you know, you can't really predict when the kids are going to get sick or kind of when urgent things are going to come your way. But I made sure to write at least every day something.
You was prioritizing, basically.
Definitely.
And Jen, my other question for you is, how do you adapt to change?
Oh, well, number one is kind of expecting that change will kind of come. Change is kind of like being on a roller coaster. You're going along and you start to go up and up a hill, and it comes to that hill and you think, well, some of us think, you know, we're in it for the ride, we're in it for the thrill and the great times that are we had from that. And others of us kind of like to go into that unrealistic thinking, well, maybe the roller coaster isn't going to go down that hill. But I think most of the time, a lot of us can adapt to change when we really expect the reality that change happens no matter what. That is the one consistent thing. So many times when we're not content in our lives or we're struggling with something, we can tend to resist change. If we don't understand how we're wired at the core, that can be another way we can resist change. But I'm all about embracing who I am. I'm very comfortable in my skin. I know how I'm wired, how I react to things. And so being really self-aware of those type of things is really helpful to embrace change. I personally am one that is wired to really like change. If I had to do the same thing as many of the listeners, I'm sure can probably relate, I would probably, you'd have to lock me away in a loony bin. I like challenges and changes. And I think most entrepreneurs are wired a little bit like that. Not always. I think the struggles come in when a lot of times our spouses are not wired that way.
Sounds great, Jen. And Jen, reading about your story, I've noticed that you had many setbacks as well. It wasn't always pure success. How do you recover from setbacks?
Great question. I think it's easy to look at our setbacks as failures, or we think sometimes we can go into the victim mode where we think, why is this happening to me? I think when we start to look at the patterns in our life, we can see that in the times when we have the greatest growth, typically those come out of times of weak areas in our life or areas that we've really struggled. And so that really was apparent in my weightlifting days. You know, it was easy to come to the gym on the really easy days when you were feeling good, when everything was going great, when you were winning medals left and right. But it was really those days where you were sore, you were hurt, you thought, you know, I'm not getting anywhere, I seem to be going backwards. It's really those days that I think we learn the most from. It's those days that we can start to build up our grit and our resilience and our perseverance. And it's those days that we can continue to move forward, or even, you know, just not get knocked down, or if we do get knocked down, to be able to get back up, that really determine our success, I believe.
And Jen, this is for entrepreneurs, and many entrepreneurs do, or some entrepreneurs do suffer from stress, like something may go wrong. I don't know, they could be in debt, or the equipment might not work, technology might fail, etc. So how can someone reduce their stress?
Great question. You know, in the firefighting service, we will never always be able to predict what scenes will be like. They're always unpredictable, whether it's a fire or car accident or a medical scene. You think you may know what you're expecting, but a big part of being successful in the fire service is really being able to adapt to change. And so, you know, that kind of goes back to your earlier question of adapting to change. And I think as entrepreneurs, if we can kind of go in with that spirit of being flexible, but being strong, if that makes sense, is absolutely essential.
So overcoming obstacles is basically adapted to change as well, right?
Definitely. It's also being willing to observe, to being self-aware of your surroundings, how you're reacting to things. No matter what the situation, I believe there's always something that you can do. And oftentimes when we get in times where we're struggling, you know, it's a day-to-day grind sometimes, just looking at the things that you can do rather than only focusing on the things that you can't do is absolutely essential. And just remembering that, you know, especially as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we typically look at people who we consider successful. They've made it. And we think, oh gosh, you know, they have it so easy. But what we don't see is perhaps the 10 years before they got to that point of the day-to-day
Definitely.
Struggles. And I think as a society, we've gotten so so used to expecting instant success in everything that we do. We take a magic pill and this happens. And it just doesn't work that way. And so to realize that even the most successful people out there had to start on a day one. You know, they weren't they weren't the most awesome people on day one, and they had things to learn too. So being really open to learning and growing.
And also, would you say believing in yourself as well?
Yeah, I think having, you kind of have to have thick skin when you're an entrepreneur, I think. There's going to come rejection, and I think how you handle rejection is a huge part, whether you grow or die, basically. But having that support system around you is essential. You know, that can be through mentors or coaches or through trusted advisors. But I think that we all need somebody to help us along. It's easy to get stuck out on these islands by yourself, and it's easy to isolate. But I think it's essential to make the effort to connect, because that's really where, you know, it can be hard sometimes, because a lot of times we don't want to hear the blunt feedback that somebody may have to give us. But I think when we have outside people looking at kind of what we're doing and helping us move along, we can help each other move forward.
So Jen, if anybody was having self-limiting beliefs, how can somebody remove self-limiting beliefs?
Oh gosh, I'm a huge fan of reading, and there's several books. The first book that comes to mind is The Big Leap by Gary Hendricks, I think it is. It's a pretty short book to read, but one of the best books I've ever read on self-limiting beliefs. Another great book is Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And the basis of the book is really learning how to become vulnerable and be willing to face into our weak areas in life, and be willing to share those weak moments with people is really what grows strong. But and the other book I just read, I can't stand the cover of the darn book. It was a terrible cover. And I didn't like the graphics inside the book. It was kind of kid-like, but it was called Taming Your Gremlin. And that really talked about kind of the reality that no matter who you are, we all have that gremlin inside of us that, you know, tells us we're not good enough or we can't do this. And I think the world is hard enough on us, but we can be even harder on ourselves. So realizing that, becoming self-aware that we all have that negative natural instinct born inside of us, just being able to recognize that is essential. And then once we recognize it, being able to be a good observer of ourselves and how we react to things and how we deal with failure, all of that, being a good observer is essential, because that'll help us definitely know how to move forward and to be able to take those baby steps. But I think just being really forgiving of ourselves is a big thing in helping ourselves get over those self-limiting beliefs. A lot of times we're our worst critic. So being able to have a lot of grace with yourself is essential.
I'm talking about moving forward, Jen. What are your future plans right now?
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, I just have a great time getting to go out and train with groups and speak with groups. Right now, I'm primarily speaking with first responders. However, I'm moving more into the corporate role with that, because there's so many jobs out there right now that are filled with stress-filled people. I'm also I'm really excited to be moving into helping people that are displaced in their jobs or that are very unhappy in the work that they're doing, through offering workshop seminars on finding the work you love. And those are based on Dan Miller's seminar training program over at 48days.com. He's an amazing man that really has led a lot of people into finding the work they love. And I just have the greatest admiration for him. So to get to be his seminar leader for that is amazing.
That's great, Jen. So Jen, what is your favorite quote or one of your favorite quotes?
Oh gosh, if you would ask me in my 20s, I would have said grow or die. I don't know who made that quote. I'm actually going to say one of my own. When we face into our weakest moments, that's when we become our strongest.
That's a great quote, Jen. And Jen, what resource would you recommend? What resource would you recommend our listeners to use?
Oh, for gaining kind of community and gaining that support, I really love Dan Miller's 48days.net community. He is an amazing man doing great things. So that would probably be the biggest resource that I would recommend for entrepreneurs today.
Thanks for that resource, Jen. And if anybody wanted to contact you, how can they contact you?
Oh, thank you for asking. You can find me at theironjen.com, and that's probably the best place to go. That'll have all my social media sites.
Fantastic, Jen. Jen, I want to thank you again for taking your time out to share your story.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Jamila. This was an honor. And thank you for the listeners for gracing me with your time, too.
And I want to thank all the listeners for listening. And I'm Jamil Jama. This is Entrepreneur Stories. And I was Jen McDonough's story. Thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you all very much for listening to Entrepreneur Stories. Please head over to entrepreneurstories.net for links, recaps of every show, and resources. Love listening to audio? Get your free audiobook and choose from over 180,000 audiobooks to listen to when you try Audible for 30 days.